Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Unity Church of Light. We're so glad you're here. So let's start with a prayer. So will you please join me? Oh, dear God, we're so grateful that you have brought us together today. We know that you have a divine purpose for all of our lives and that you are leading and guiding each of us. May we all feel your presence and power in this time we have together. And for this, we say thank you, God. Amen. And we have an affirmation, I believe, to say.
Okay, in the infinity of this moment, all is perfect, whole, and complete. The one power, the one presence expresses in us every moment of every day. We open our hearts to the wisdom and intelligence that exists in the universe and in our life. From the one power come all answers, resources, opportunities, solutions, creativity, and all healing. We release all doubt. We trust that what we need is shadow.
I see you in all your wonder and your radiance, and I know who you are. Yes, I know who you are. You're the light of God. You're the light of God. I know you've struggled, I know you're in pain, in ways I'll never understand. But I won't go away, come sunshine or rain, I'll be there holding your hand. I see you in all your wonder and your radiance, and I know who you are. Yes, I know who you are. You're the light of God. You're the light of God. We all need help, we've all been in fear. Sometimes we just cannot see. When the song of your soul is too faint to hear, will you listen to me? I know your name. Light. When you're lost out in the darkness, will you trust my sight? Trust me, I see you in all your wonder and your radiance, and I know who you are. I know who you are. You're the light of God. You're the light of God. You are the light You're the light of God.
Good morning. Wait a minute. I am restored by the Spirit of God within me. Renewal is part of the rhythm of daily life. Eating and drinking to nourish and to replenish my body. Resting to quiet my mind and sleeping after a day of activity are all ways to renew myself. But sometimes those efforts aren't quite enough to sustain me. At times when I feel drained of death, I may need spiritual renewal. God, the one present and power, is with me always, but it is up to me to keep my awareness of God strong. When I awaken, I say a prayer of blessing for what the day will bring. Throughout the day, I feel God's presence all around me. When I prepare for sleep, I say a prayer of gratitude for all the day has brought. And God, I am renewed moment by moment, day by day. We look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporarily, but what cannot be seen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18.
Wow, I love that music we had in the Daily Word. Thank you. Okay, will you join me as we affirm together our mission and vision statement? Our vision and mission statements together, our vision. Unity Church of Light is a spirit-centered inspiration in the world. And our mission statement. Unity Church of Light stands as a spiritual beacon to illuminate the world. And now our unity affirmation that's being said, repeated, prayed, said, in unity churches and centers around the world together. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life. God the good, omnipotent. And I invite you to close your eyes for just a moment and think about what may be going on in your life and in the world, and remember that God is the one presence and the one power and is greater than anything that appears unlike God. And we hold to that truth, we know that truth, and for our awareness, we say, thank you, God, and so it is. Amen. Now we're going to bless our youth. So if you think of a cute little one you know of, if you don't know of a cute little one, then think of the cute little one in you. So let's do our youth blessing together. Children of God, we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we behold the Christ in you. Yes, we do. Okay, and our announcements for today are on this really sheet that jumps out at you, right? Okay, well, first of all, we're excited. We have our own licensed unity candidate, our own Jackie Compton is going to give us a wonderful message today. So thank you for coming, Jackie. Yay. And also, there are things on the back. Movie night's the 28th. Is that this week? Yes, that's this Friday night. So movie time. And also, we have a class going on the five Sundays. Next Sunday will be another class on Breaking the Ten Commandments by Eric Butterworth. There is a Zoom class on Tuesday nights. And if you want to know about that, you would need to contact Bernetta. And then there's going to be something new happening on August 2nd, which isn't far away. It's an Enneagram class on Zoom, and our own Jackie Compton's going to do that. So if you have questions about that, you can ask her. I have a flyer up here. This is a very special day in our year in the church. Every year, the Unity Prayer Chaplains have a sacred healing day. And this year it's going to be at First Unity Church on Butler Hill. So if you're interested in that, we'll be telling you more about that, because that is on September the 9th. It's a Saturday from 9 to 1. So, okay. I also want to remind you, don't know if it's in here, the Oasis Food Pantry. Always remember that. I get out of the habit. I'm in the habit. I remember every week to pick up a couple extra items because it's not a big deal. But then I get out of the habit and then I forget. But I brought them today. So anyway, they're saying special needs they have, but anything that you bring will be appreciated. So, you know, let's help the people who need our help and support with that. Also, I want to tell you, if you're on the service schedule, like if you're an usher or greeter or anything, I have the schedules today. So I've given them out to those of you I've seen here, but if not, I'm going to actually leave them out on the table for the people who come back next week to get them, because the week after that we'll be doing our new service schedule. Also, I want to call special attention to the fact that Mary and Bill Richtine are leaving us. They're going on to their new chapter in life in Washington, D.C., and this is her last Sunday with us. So I'd like us to give her a special blessing. So, Mary, would you stand? No, she won't stand. We know where she is, right? So let's give her Unity blessing. Mary, we love you. We appreciate you. We behold. Oh, I don't know how it goes. Somebody help me. We bless you. We love you. We appreciate you. Behold the Christ in you. Thank you, Sarah. Okay. I didn't know I was doing that, and so I wasn't prepared, and you can see I didn't remember it. But anyway, Mary, we appreciate all you have done for us. You have been a wonderful member of our church, and you are Miss Food Queen. I mean, you handled our food and our refreshments, and you just step in. I know you were on the outreach team, and you've just done, I know I'll forget to say something, but we appreciate all you've done, and we're going to miss you. But we're also excited for you. Okay, all right. And with that, it's time for another song.
There was a time in my life, thought I had to do it all for myself. Of God was sufficient. I didn't know the love of God was at hand. But now I can say, if you are discouraged, struggling just to make it through another day, gotta let it go. Gotta let it all go. Are you listening? Yeah. You got to let it all go. And this is what you have to say.
Yes, I'm only here for God. Wow. You, Michael Gott. He's a Unity minister. Yes, sir. We're a wild bunch. What a bright, shining light I have toward me. Wow, I love you people. What would you think if I told you that there was a simple thing you could do that would solve all your problems? All right, somebody's listening. You would just need to stop thinking about one thing and think about another. Would you be interested in that? I know one person. In 1931, Dr. Emmett Fox wrote a pamphlet called The Golden Key. It's right here. Look at this tiny thing. It's 972 words. And that's like the equivalent of two single-spaced pages. In it, he promises relief from any sort of problem by persistent application of spiritual principles. Dr. Fox was so confident that he guaranteed results in the first two paragraphs of this little pamphlet. I'm going to read them to you. Scientific prayer will enable you to get yourself or anyone else out of any difficulty. It is the golden key to harmony and happiness. To those who have no acquaintance with the mightiest power in existence, this may appear to be a rash claim. But it needs only a fair trial to prove that, without a shadow of a doubt, it is a just one. You need take no other word for it. You need take no other word for it. And you should not. Simply try it for yourself. Pretty powerful words, aren't they? Now, Dr. Fox said anyone could draw on this spiritual power. You didn't have to be a mystic or a saint or even a trained practitioner. Everyone has the ability, and the spiritual principle is open to everyone. He also said all you had to do to get rid of your problem was to stop thinking about the difficulty, no matter what, whatever that was, and think of God instead. So that's the complete rule. That's all you had to do. So stop thinking about the difficulty, whatever that is, and think about God instead. If you did that, the trouble, whatever it is, no matter how large or small, would presently disappear. It doesn't matter what the type of problem it is. It could be health, finance, an accident, a quarrel, anything imaginable. Just stop thinking about it and think about God instead. That's all you have to do. Now, it sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Now, what do we think about things that sound too good to be true? They usually are too good to be true, right? That's what we're taught anyway. But then Dr. Fox audaciously goes on to say, it never fails when given a fair trial. It never fails. Wow, that's quite a claim. What are we to think about this guy and his claims? So to give you a little background about Dr. Fox, he was a legitimate divine science minister, and he held services every Sunday morning in New York City's Carnegie Hall. And he had a congregation of 5,500 people every week. 5,500 people. I'm sure that may not have been more than one service, but anyway, that's a heck of a lot of people. And he must have been telling the truth in this little pamphlet, because at least a handful, if not more, of those people probably did what this pamphlet said, and they had good results, right? Well, I'm thinking, well, maybe that's why there was 5,500 people in his congregation every week, so that they could hear that message and really live it in their lives. Now, Dr. Fox said, God is omnipotent, which means all-powerful, and we are God's image and likeness and have dominion over all things, including our thinking. Everyone has this ability to draw on God's power. Whoever you are, no matter where you are with your situation, the golden key to harmony is in your hands now. And you can actually download this little pamphlet from unity.org if you wanted to do that. The Golden Key pamphlet starts out the first paragraph by saying that scientific prayer will enable you to get yourself and anyone else out of a difficulty. So what is scientific prayer? Scientific prayer is also known as affirmative prayer. It defines God as one presence and one power. We say that every week. We just said it a few minutes ago. We say that God does not judge us or punish us for our bad choices in life. Unity believes that God is love, life, wisdom, power, substance, harmony, health, happiness, and truly our abundant resource for everything in our lives. Focusing on these qualities instead of our problem shifts our consciousness to an abundant state of mind. And because God is good, good comes into our life when we focus on God. Now, Dr. Fox said, you didn't have to understand or believe any of these things about God. You didn't have to understand or believe it. Now, that's saying something, isn't it? If you don't believe that God is all those things, that's okay. Didn't matter to him. Doesn't matter to the principal. Think it and say it anyway. He gives us permission to fake it until we make it. But by constantly repeating some statement of absolute truth, such as there is no power but God, or God is love, or God is guiding me now, or just simply God is with me, however mechanical or trite it might seem to you, you will feel the peaceful results and your mind will start clearing. Do not struggle violently. Don't try to make it happen. Just be quiet and persistent in this endeavor. Now, each time that you find your intention wandering back to your problem, just switch it straight back to God. Don't chastise yourself with shame and guilt that you can't do it perfectly. Just bring your mind gently back to the presence of God and be aware that it's right there. Soon you'll be starting to believe that God is good, love, and all those other good things, and that God is indeed on your side. On your side. Now, Dr. Fox is telling us that to use scientific prayer all the time in every situation. Stop thinking about that problem and think only of God. I keep saying that, don't I? But we need to repeat it. We need to hear it over and over and over. Here is the reason why we must focus on God. In scientific prayer, it is God that does the work and not us. Isn't that a relief? We don't have to do anything but just think about God. Our limitations and weaknesses do not get in the way here. We only are the channel through which the Spirit moves through us. We have to just get ourselves out of the way. Now, Dr. Fox said that beginners often get startling results the first time they do this. So you just must have an open mind and try it. Have faith. In addition to the fake it to the make it provision that he provides, another unique attitude that Dr. Fox proclaimed is that the golden key will work no matter what your religious views. In fact, you can hold any view of a religion, or you can have no religious views at all. So that would include agnostics and atheists, anybody. It includes everybody. He was an all-inclusive kind of guy, wasn't he? The freedom from judgment and rules is one of the reasons that Dr. Fox's success was so fantastic as a minister. Now, Dr. Fox had a great deal of influence over the organization and development of Alcoholics Anonymous in the 1930s. Dr. Fox's secretary had a grown son, who was one of the first members of AA. And to help themselves get sober and stay sober, The early members would attend Dr. Fox's sermon on Sundays at Carnegie Hall. So Dr. Fox's simple, non-judgmental method helped these AA members to stay sober and develop their 12-step program, which has helped millions and millions of people overcome addictions and live meaningful, purposeful lives. Dr. Fox's philosophy certainly does deal with everyday problems. So if Dr. Fox's philosophy in this pamphlet is so successful, why aren't more people using it? It's been around for 92 years. You'd think that it would have, you know, run the gamut by now. So the golden key is simple, but it's not always easy. If you are very frightened or worried, at first it may be difficult to stop thinking about that problem and move toward God. If you are thinking about the difficulty, you're not thinking about God. To be continually glancing over your shoulder, looking to see how progress is going, is like digging up a plant to see how well it's growing. It's pretty fatal. You must leave the trouble alone, and you must think of God only. So stopping the thinking about problems is one of the most difficult things that we can do, because we've been taught from a very early age that it's important that we do think about our problems, that we fix our problems, that we help other people fix their problems, or we fix them so that they can fix their problems. We're supposed to do that. That's what our culture says. But in reality, that doesn't work. That's not the solution. Worrying and talking constantly about our problems keeps us thinking about the problem. And that is not the solution. When we keep thinking and talking about that problem, we become mired even more into fear and ego, and it just gets worse and worse. The more people we tell about our problem, the more we get sympathy from them, and the worse the problem gets. That's the law of attraction at work. We don't help anybody by giving them sympathy. Empathy is another thing entirely. But sympathy, that's not so good. That just gives sympathy. Giving sympathy gives more negative energy to the situation. And again, you're not focusing on the solution. Anytime you get into a feeling of sympathy for someone, start golden keying them and their problem. The second difficulty with this technique is that for most of us, it is difficult to think of God all the time. Some of us don't want to think of God at all because we have had a bad religious experience in our past. So if God leaves a bad taste in your mouth, this technique will work, but you will need to do it and take a step in faith to do it. Stepping into the unknown. It may be difficult to think of God as being good or joyous when you've had tragedy in your life. That's understandable. But you may be stuck in the problem because you have a resentment toward God or people who have been mean to you. Resentment will not solve your problem, but it's easy to fall into resentment. You can resolve your problem by using the golden key technique. The secret is to stay in the present moment the best you can. When you slip into the past with resentment and regret, or you slip into the future with worry and ruminating, as soon as you recognize that you are doing that, simply pull yourself back to the present and think about God. Your object is to drive the thought of difficulty right out of your mind, out of your consciousness. For a few moments at least, for it is the thought of God that counts, that has that power in it for you to bring good into your life. This is the crux of the whole thing. If you can become so absorbed in the consideration of spiritual principles that you really forget for a moment your problem, you have taken one step forward toward being at peace. then the demonstration occurs. In order to golden key a troublesome person or a difficult situation, think, now I'm going to golden key John and Mary. Or I'm going to golden key that dangerous situation. Then proceed to drive out all thought of John or Mary or that situation and replace it by thinking about God. By working in this way regarding a person, you are not seeking to influence their conduct. This is really important because a lot of times we want to jump in there and we want to fix the person. Or we want to tell God to fix that person. And that's not the way to go. You're not trying to change them. You're leaving them alone. You will be preventing them, however, from injuring or annoying you, which is an important thing because then you can be in the presence of God, right? So if you pray for someone, if you golden key them, you're placing them in God's care and you're placing yourself in God's care, right? Well, that's a powerful thing. That's when demonstrations can happen. You're holding them in non-judgment and placing them in God's care because you are thinking about God. The person will be blessed with your positive attention because you have golden keyed them. Threatening situations that may be looming over you will dissolve or fade away, and justice will prevail for everyone concerned, without you having to do anything except think about God. Do not think in advance what the solution of your difficulty will be. This will only delay your result. So if you're thinking, okay, I want this to happen, don't do that. Just turn it over to God. God knows what's going on. Leave the question of ways and means strictly to God. It is enough that you want to get out of the difficulty. That's the positive step that you're taking. You do your half, and God will do its half. Now, I want to tell you a story. Unity minister, Reverend Tom Shepherd, early in his ministerial career, was serving as an army chaplain on an army base. Now, he had a chapel, and so several prisoners from the brig had been assigned for them to come over and to clean and sweep and scrape paint and do other things to make the chapel look better. So they came and they were working, but he noticed that there was one soldier who was just standing, kind of loitering around the pamphlet thing. And so he went over, because she had been there for quite a while, and he wanted to see if she needed something or if she was just avoiding work. And so he struck up a conversation with her. And she told him that she had 6 months left on her service, on her sentence in the brig for an offense that she had done. But in the meantime, she had incurred a minor infraction when she was in the brig, and so she was awaiting the decision whether her sentence was going to be extended or not, and she was kind of concerned about this. And so he decided, the Reverend, decided to give her the pamphlet, The Golden Key. And so he gave it to her. Now, he had some reservations or skepticism about everything that the pamphlet said, just like some of you may have some skepticism. But he gave it to her anyway. And so he went back to his office, and she sat down in the chapel, and she read it. And she was there for a little while, and then she got up, and she joined the other prisoners in working around the chapel. Well, when the day ended, the Reverend was so happy with all the work that had been done that he asked the sergeant if he could have the same crew the next day. And he said, oh, yeah, we can arrange that, but this Private Franklin, who he had spoken to, would not be there. And he said, well, why? And he said, because she has served her time. They made a decision on her pending case. And she was going to be released the next day. Now, not only did she not have her sentence extended, but she had actually been, they had decided that she had served her time and that they were releasing her. So she didn't have to continue and finish the rest of that six-month sentence. Now, when Reverend Tom heard that, he thought, he had to rethink that golden key, right? Because now he would never know if she sat there and she did what the pamphlet said. But he changed his opinion of this little pamphlet. And that was a powerful demonstration. And on the way up here today while I was driving, I love listening to Casey Kasem. Do you know who he is? Yeah, he's a music guy. And I love his show. And they repeat it on the radio station as I'm driving up here. And he told the story about this one musician. And it was an interesting story. And I thought, I'm going to tell him today. I'm going to tell you about this story today because it fits perfectly into this. Now, he said there was a young kid who was blind. And he was in a blind school. This was many, 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 many years ago. When then blind people didn't really have any opportunity to really make something of themselves. And they were very limited in their occupation. So when he was 13, this nun told him that he would be wise to be smart, so study, but the most he could probably achieve in his lifetime was to weave potholders or do some kind of manual bead work or something. And he played the piano, so he might be able to be a piano tuner if he was really lucky. Well, this kid did not believe what that nun told him. And he focused on what he could do. And I'm sure that he was thinking about all of those qualities that God is that he focused and saw in himself. And he became a star. And this person is Stevie Wonder. Yeah. So the thing I want to say about that is when I say think about, and I'm just adding to, I mean, I think I'm great enough that I can add to Dr. Fox's pamphlet, okay? But this is what occurred to me on the way up here. When we say, think about God, that seems like a huge thing to do. I mean, it seems impossible, doesn't it? God is nobody can really even define what God is. But what this Stevie Wonder did, I'm sure of it, and he has spoken of it since, during his lifetime. He thought about good in his life. He thought about power in his life. He thought about what he could do. And all of those things are qualities of God. So if we focus on the power that we can do and that we have inside of us, wow, that's powerful. And it makes demonstrations for us. It changes our lives. So Dr. Fox wrote this little pamphlet as a practical recipe for getting out of trouble. The only way that we can get out of trouble in reality is to take a look at our consciousness and shift it in a different direction. I think it comes down to this. We have to ask ourselves, what do we really want in life? Do we want to be unconscious of our power and end up a victim of our beliefs that people told us that weren't even true? Or do we have the courage to step out in faith and claim what is ours? The Bible said God wants us to be happy. He didn't use those words, but anyway, something similar. And we have to just claim it, right? We have to know that it's ours and just say yes. Yes, just like we said yes before. And we're going to say yes later on, I think, in an affirmation. So if we want love, peace, happiness, and appreciation, and all those godly qualities in our lives, we have to claim them. And that's not always easy. But it can be done if we think about God. Most people do pray, but they may spend much more time talking and thinking about their problems. So what I would like you to do this week is to just become conscious of how much time you spend thinking about God and how much time you spend thinking and talking about your problems. And I think that you might be surprised. Observation and awareness are the first keys to change. Once you are aware of how much you focus on your problems, then you can golden key them. And by thinking of God and good in your life and how powerful you yourself are, especially as a co-creator of God, then God will bless you with love, peace, wisdom, and resolution. So I'd like us to move into a little meditation. Just go ahead and get comfortable. Close your eyes if you wish, or focus on something in the sanctuary. Take a few deep breaths. And release the tensions of the day, or the excitement of the day, or whatever is happening. Just be present in this very, very special moment. We gather here to find ways of living a vibrant, satisfying, meaningful life by living out spiritual principles. We know that what we focus on grows. And so today, we become willing to observe how often we think about God and how often we think about our problems. We have the power within us to shift our consciousness from worry and trouble to peace and harmony. We make that shift by thinking of God, thinking only of God. When we think of God, we become aware of our oneness with God and of God's joy at giving us the kingdom of heaven. So take a few more deep breaths. Release that tension, anything else that may be there. And for the next several moments, let yourself drift into solitude with God's grace, affirming all good things for yourself and releasing your cares and concerns over to God in this quiet time. For the grace and peace that we have received in this short, quiet time, we are truly thankful. We go forth this week, golden keying anything that is not of God, and we will know peace. For this and all things, we say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.